Back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. The NFL conversation continues with USA Today columnist Christine Brennan. So, Christine, what do you think we've learned from the NFL, their new personal conduct policy?
Well, I thought we'd learned that the NFL would get rid of these clubs. I mean, they're just, you know, they're our role models for our kids, and they are, and they're bad role models, obviously. But, again, they play on. I mean, Greg Hardy is just the worst, but, again, to Roger Goodell's credit, he wanted to get rid of him. He wanted to give him a 10-game suspension. The union did not go along with it. The union fought that. The court fought, arbitrator fought it, and, of course, it was a 4-game suspension, and now he's back. If I were the commissioner of the National Football League, I would have these guys never playing again. It's a privilege, not a right, to be a National Football League player. They can control these things, but the courts, as we saw with Tom Brady, different story, of course, very different issue, but nonetheless, the courts are going against Roger Goodell, so as everyone gets all mad at Roger Goodell, keep in mind that he's the one that actually wants the tough punishment. So I'm in keeping with that. I'm certainly in step with that, personally. But I guess everyone's just fine because, as I said, we're not seeing protests. We're not seeing people marching in the streets about Greg Hardy in Dallas, are we? Of course not. People want to win. So I think I don't know what it means, but it's troubling to me. It's very troubling. But I'm glad the NFL has a personal conduct policy. If they could enforce that personal conduct policy, that would be even better.
Greg Hardy, Johnny Manziel, Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson. I mean, ultimately, what do you think? What's the solution? I mean, how do you get these guys rehabilitated? I mean, what's the bottom line?
Well, I don't know. I mean, since there's no clamoring from sponsors or fans, I don't know how it happens. You know, I'm not going to wave the white flag of surrender. Obviously, I'll continue to write and talk about these things. The networks, ABC, Good Morning America, we've done reports on Johnny Manziel on this issue. Many, many things on Ray Rice, Greg Hardy. So we in the media continue to point this out. But it doesn't seem to resonate with the fans. If it does, it's the wrong fans. You know, if moms and dads are saying this is awful and don't want to turn on the NFL, well, the NFL ratings are great. I put in the column that people can find that disappeared on Thursday morning in USA Today and Wednesday online. You know, I put in the column that the Game 5 of the World Series, which is, of course, the most important baseball game of the year, the final game of the season, got good ratings, very good ratings, 17 million people watched. But the Sunday night football game, which was a good game, very good game, between 250 teams, the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos, but nonetheless a mid-season NFL game that didn't decide anything, had 23 million viewers. So 6 million more people watched the NFL mid-season than watched the most important baseball game of the year. There should be no doubt in our minds about the role that the NFL plays in our culture. It is our national pastime, the National Football League is. College pro football, high school football, too. It's just huge. Such a part of our fabric of our culture, not just sports. And, you know, as the joke is, they own a day of the week. Well, you know, they own all kinds of time on Sunday and Monday nights and Thursday night and whatever. And so if that doesn't tell us that the NFL is more popular than ever, beating the final game of the World Series, such an important game, by 6 million viewers. Wow. So this is where the NFL is. And again, I get a chance to continue to point these things out. I'm happy to do it. I'll do it as long as I have a wonderful opportunity and the great good fortune to be a columnist and a commentator on TV and radio and on your show and on others. And in my columns in USA Today, I'll keep pointing it out. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But people seem to care. They cared last year with Ray Rice in the video. And then when it comes right down to it, they want to win football games, right? So, Greg Hardy, if you're a Dallas Cowboys
right.
fan,
yeah.
I guess you're cheering for Greg Hardy. Even though you were disgusted by Ray Rice. It's a fascinating dynamic.
Award-winning sports columnist Christine Brennan with us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're quickly running out of time. I did want to highlight one of your recent posts in late October. I thought it was a really compelling article, and it's titled, Would Football Stand a Chance If Invented Today? Share a little bit about that as far as just the awareness and what you were sharing in that particular article.
Yeah, so, you know, I basically asked a few, I talked to an athletic trainer, a high school trainer, who suggested this, and he couldn't speak on the record, but, you know, could we have football? If we didn't already invent football, would it exist today? And this column is also on my Twitter feed, and it's on Facebook, and again, just you can Google that easily and people could find it. The idea being, what would that first parent meeting be like if you were initiating football in America? Never existed. And so picture that meeting of parents at high school. Well, all right, there's this game is predicated on tackling and hitting. There will be severe injury. There will be kids who never can play another sport again or worse. And, of course, even worse than that, there will be head injuries and there will be deaths. And as we know now, we've just had our 8th high school football player, the kid in Kansas, the young man injured playing Kansas football and died in the Denver hospital. He was kept on life support so people could say goodbye. And that just happened this week. So 8 deaths in 8 weeks. And this happens every year, and football goes on, and I'm not advocating the end of football. But if we never had it, could it exist? And the answer, of course, is no. It would never start now. Parents would never allow this team to get off the ground. High school superintendents, high school boards would never, ever allow football to get going. So only because it exists can it go on. And we love it, and so it goes on. We also know, of course, that anyone walking out of their house can get injured. You can get injured in your home.
Mm-hmm.
But it is quite tragic when these kids in the prime of their life, just starting their lives in high school, playing a sport, are getting injured. But the pattern is that in one case, the New Jersey boy, it was a ruptured spleen, an enlarged spleen. In the case of the Chicago young man, it was blunt force trauma to the head. There was a 9-year-old as well in Ohio this week who died. So that's actually 9 in 8 weeks. But that wasn't high school football. But he didn't even get old enough, wasn't even old enough to play high school football, and he died. Each one is individual. So you can't really call it an epidemic because each one is an individual story. But they're tragic and they're awful. And it was, I think, fodder for me just to, present that notion of would we allow football if it didn't already exist? And the answer, as I think we all agree, was no way, liability-wise. No way medical-wise, no way would parents and school boards allow it. But it exists, and so let's hope we can have better, smarter tackling techniques, again, working on telling kids how to tackle properly, and have better equipment, better helmets. We're ironically at a good place there, doing better all the time and hopefully continue. But can a lot of these schools that are strapped for cash, can they bring it, the money for the big and the wonderful helmets and the great padding and equipment? And the answer probably is not. So you've got inferior products on our most valuable resources, and that is, of course, our children, our most valuable possessions, these kids. And so, wow, here we are. But, again, a topic that's important to discuss, as heartbreaking as it is.
My final question for you, Christine, you have to just wonder, is high school football, is it worth the risk? And I just have to say, from a personal standpoint, I'm a mother of 2 sons, 14 and 9, and we opted to go a different direction. My boys play golf because I don't want them in that intensity in terms of that contact sport. They've got many friends, our son that's a middle schooler, that have already had multiple concussions playing football.
I know, and I guess parents are fine with that, right? I guess parents are, obviously kids are still playing football.
Yeah.
So I'm a realist, as I said. I'm very practical. And as I said earlier about, there's no protest in Dallas about Greg Hardy. People are cheering his sacks, right? So, and they want him to sack the quarterback. So, that's where we are. And so football is here to stay. But I do think that it's very important to look at these issues. I wonder in 30 or 40 years if football will look more like boxing. And by that I mean socioeconomically, much more of poor kids playing football. We see some of that now. But will it look even more and more like that? And will suburban kids just not do that? Will they, like your kids and my nieces and nephews, just avoid these concussion sports and play golf or tennis, some of these other sports? And so that's a real question moving forward. Will we have football in 30, 40 years? What will it look like? And I do think it will look much more like boxing than it looks like right now. And that means, obviously, that's trouble, because if it's the poor kids that play it, the rural poor, the inner city poor, the urban poor, if that's the outlet for them and the money's there, they'll do it. But again, if other kids with more means and parents better educated or just more means to play other sports, if they make that choice, what are we doing to that segment of the population that does not make that choice and continues to play a sport that we love? We absolutely love football, but the risks are great. So hopefully we'll continue to be able to talk about these issues.
Absolutely. She is simply the best award-winning sports columnist with USA Today, Christine Brennan, joining us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much, Christine. Have a great weekend.
Oh, Alyssa, you too. Thank you very much.
You bet. Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight right here in hour number one. Nancy Lieberman is joining us next.